From the Land de Grand University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 29th day of June, 2022. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Jackie Vakes from Total Farm Marketing. We'll hear from Greg Johnson at Total Grain Marketing about the cash grain situation, and Drew Lerner will be here to discuss the weather forecast from World Weather Incorporated. Also, don't forget that tomorrow, USDA will update the acreage and grain stocks figures. You can find those on our website at willag.org at 11 o'clock. We'll have a special program during the afternoon for the Closing Market Report to discuss those. And there is a Farm Doc Daily webinar in the 2 o'clock hour tomorrow. You can find details and a way to get yourself registered for that online right now. Also at willag.org.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, July corn for the day settled at $7.70 and a quarter cents, up 10 and three quarters. December at $6.53 and three quarters, down 5.5 cents. July beans up 10 and a half at $16.74 and a quarter, and November at $14.78 and a quarter, 15 and three quarters of a cent higher. The bean meal futures up $8.10. The oil up 51 cents for the day. July soft red winter wheat at $9.15 a bushel, down 5 3/4. The hard red at $9.85 1/4, down a penny and a half for the afternoon. Live cattle futures in Chicago finished at $132.17, down 55 cents per 100 pounds. Feeders at $170.72, $1.10 lower, and lean hogs at $103.57, down 25 cents for the day. The wholesale price of crude oil at $110.65 a barrel on the board, down $1.11. Diesel fuel at $3.99, that's heating oil, down 12 4/10 cents. The wholesale price of gasoline today, 10 1/10 cents lower at $3.74 3/10 cents. The Dow Jones Industrial Average about 134 points higher for the afternoon. Jackie Vakes of TotalFarmMarketing.com now joins us to take a look at the marketplace. Hi, Jackie. Thank you for being with us for today. Let's start with our normal functions of the support and resistance levels first, please.
You betcha. I took off July, so we're going to start with September corn, 654 and 677, December 601, 661, March 621 and 689. For beans, August 1569 and 1591, September 1487 and 1527, November 1426 and 1487. For July gold, 1803 and 1865. On the Dow Jones, same as last week, 28,670 to 31,532. U.S. dollar, same as last week, too, 102.98 to 106.47. Interesting in the managed money, Todd. I'll tell you, it's something else. Last week, we were short 9,000 wheat. This week, they're long 2,000 wheat. So you can see why the wheat market is just plain crazy. You look at corn, last week they were long 277, now they're 240. And I want to make sure that people are aware of the fact that many times in the past, when we've dropped below 240,000 long on corn, that was the tipping point for managed money. So we're going to be watching this mighty close. On beans, last week 156,000 long, this week 144. Soy meal, last week 54,000 long, this week 69,000, so they increased that. And soy oil, last week 62,000 long, and this week only 37,000 long. So they increased their meal position and reduced their oil position. And if I had to guess, that's probably in response to what's going on in China as far as them relaxing some of their COVID restrictions, basically, is what it is. So our index traders, who, you know, hedging inflation. For corn this week, they dropped their corn positions 11,400. On beans, they added 86 positions, which is really nothing considering they have 262,000 long. And on wheat, they dropped it 1,446 positions. So corn and wheat dropped, beans barely held on. But you can tell that the index traders are trying to figure out if it's necessary to shed some of the demand-based commodities as far as hedging inflation, just based on what the Fed is saying. When it comes to export inspections, wheat exports down 12%, just like last week. Corn 18, just like last week. And soybeans down 11, just like last week.
What kind of information do we have on energy use or things from the EIA that we should be thinking about?
Well, they did release a report today. If you remember, Todd, last week they didn't release a report at all because they had hardware failure and their data wasn't available. What they put out this week is that the ethanol production declined slightly from the previous week. Ethanol stocks declined to a 25-week low. So that's interesting. But they also put a little addendum in there that said they're continuing to process and restore backup data and performing quality checks following their failure at the data center. So they're going to be actually publishing their gasoline prices at 5 p.m. Eastern time today. And then it'll go back to the regular schedule. So they've got some issues. There's no question. And we talk about reports, of course. Tomorrow is a big, big day. And you can see it in the markets. There's an awful lot of positioning going on ahead of tomorrow's big reports. We've got, the most important, of course, and that's the grain stocks report. The average guesses are showing corn at $4.33 billion. That was compared to $4.11 last year. And soybeans, $959 million compared to $769 in June of 21, and wheat at $655 compared to $845 in June. Now, you know, you notice that the corn number's higher, the bean number's higher, but I still think, you know, there could be a lot of volatility because when you look at the range of guesses, just on beans alone, there's 360 million bushels in between the range of guesses. There's close to 400 million bushels between the guesses on beans, on corn, excuse me. And so that tells me that tomorrow's report could really be an explosive one. When we look at the planted acres, average guess, 89.69. And in 21, we had 93.35. March report said 89.49. So just a little higher than March. Soybeans, 90.4. In March, we had 90.95. So just a little bit lower, but still much higher than in 21, where we only had 87.195. On all wheat, 46.889. And that is up from 47.35 in March. And pretty close to where we were in 21, which is 46.7. So you can see that it appears that there's been a shift and they've dropped some of the wheat acres that they thought they were going to have. And that only makes sense when you look at what went on, you know, up in the northern tier.
Is there wisdom that we can glean about summertime weather rallies and the acreage and grain stocks reports and all the things that have been really pushing the marketplace higher for some time that we might want to consider as we go through the rest of this summer?
Well, one of my peers, Brian Doherty, put together a really good summary, I thought, and I wanted to share that with everybody. It's the years from 2014 through 2021. What it comes down to, the very bitter end, is when we rally, Todd, we rally pretty fast. In 2012, we went up $3.43 in 56 days. But when we decline, sometimes we decline even faster. And so when you look at those 7 years, it took an average of 83.5 days to move. And the price, and this is December, based off of December corn, okay? It was $1.15 on average that it moved in those 83.5 days, which is a little over 2 cents a day. But the change in price, and this to me is the most significant part, on average was 24.9%. So, you know, if you take 25% of the current December contract high, that could take us all the way down to 575, you know, and that's significant lost money. So all I'm trying to bring forward to everybody is be aware that so many times we've tipped over. Normally we tipped over before, you know, after the 4th of July. This year, it seems as if we have tipped earlier. And I want to go back to when I managed down at 240,000 long. You couple that with these types of numbers, and believe me, when the manager money tips over, that's when these markets normally tip over too, along with, well, if we don't have any threatening weather, which we don't seem to have right now. And so I think it's important that everybody remember that. You know, get something in place you just buy some puts, buy some short dated puts, something like that, to try and give yourself some downside protection, because we just really don't know what's going to happen.
A good cautionary tale. Anything from South America that we should be aware of?
Well, I think this is really interesting. You know, the Safrinha corn harvest has started pushing Brazilian freight rates higher. It does this every year. But man, this year is just unbelievable. The cost of transporting corn by truck from Sorriso and central Mato Grosso to the Port of Santos during the first half of June for this year averaged $2.40 a bushel. Now, during the first half of June of 2021, it was $1.77 a bushel. Now, that's scary enough, but just think about this. Adding to the cost is the fact that all those major highways from Riso to Santos are toll roads. So those tolls add another 90 cents a bushel. I mean, we are blessed. There's no question about it. That is really scary to me. I'll tell you what, and almost 70 cents a bushel more to transport this year than last year.
Wow. Hey, thank you for digging everything up and for taking time with me today.
Thank you, Todd. Have a good one.
You too. That's Jackie Vake. She is with TotalFarmMarketing.com. Let's check the cash grain market now with Greg Johnson. He's at TGM Total Grain Marketing, the elevator here in Champaign County. Hi, Greg. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks. Glad to be here, Todd.
Well, let's talk a little bit about what's happening in Chicago and then how that reflects on what's happening at the cash grain situation, or maybe more importantly, how the cash grain situation is reflected in Chicago. I've made note, and so have you, that the spreads are changing a bit. Can you talk about that and what it means?
Yep. The trade thinks that there's rain in the forecast, and they're a little nervous about the big reports tomorrow. So we're seeing a little bit of pressure in new crop corn, but that has not translated into any farmer movement for old crop corn. So the farmers are tight holders of what little bit of old crop corn is left, and that is being reflected in the corn spreads. Old crop corn is up double digits today, while new crop corn is down a penny or two. And that has been the case for probably the last couple of weeks, that July-September corn spread is out to over a dollar now. And not too long ago, it was 20, 30 cents. So that indicates that processors, end users, feeders are trying to pry corn out of the hands of farmers and elevators by increasing the basis. And they're just having a tough time. It's either there's just not that much left, or the farmers and end users are middlemen or tight holders. So we're trying to find that price level at which grain will move. And my personal opinion is there's just not that much left out there, so we're chasing those last few bushels.
I guess we'll find that out during the USDA grain stocks report, because it'll have on-farm numbers tomorrow.
Exactly. That will, is it all in the Western Corn Belt? Where is the corn, or is it just not out there? We'll get a lot of answers tomorrow.
All right. So generally, without knowing those numbers, when you look forward into the month of August, about the time producers will have to make a decision as to whether they roll this into the new crop or not, what will folks like you do? What considerations do you have as to when you make that decision to force the roll?
Yeah, the market is basically telling you not to hold on to old crop corn into the new crop. If you do that, you're going to be taking a dollar less in futures price, so you're starting off with a dollar loss. Now, maybe the basis improves enough to offset that. Maybe you can get $1.25 over basis, but that's a gamble and one that most elevators aren't willing to take. Farmers may or may not be willing to take that, but we're kind of risk averse, and so we're going to take the sure thing. And so we'll try to have as much inventory moved prior to the 1st of August. We'll try to get it all moved in July and maybe middle part of August. And so that last part of August, there should be very little inventory left. And that's when you see the fireworks. If somebody needs it, they'll be paying, crazy numbers over. And if once they get that satisfied, you'll see basis levels drop dramatically. So that last half August is not for the faint of heart by any stretch. And we'll probably be out of it by then.
Yeah, and then there'll be first half September bids, I would think.
Yes, yes. Corn got planted in general 2 weeks later than normal. The hot weather has probably sped that up by a week, but we're still a week behind. So I think there will be definite incentives for corn if you have anything ready in first half September. I definitely think that'll be the case.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the time today.
All right. Thanks, Todd.
That's Greg Johnson. He is with TGM, Total Grain Marketing. Just a couple quick reminders that tomorrow USDA will release the grain stocks and acreage figures. Those are updated numbers for both of them. The grain stocks are a tally of what's left in the bin from last year's crop, and the acreage figures will be as of June 1st and what farmers say they planted this season, and will differ probably from the acreage numbers that were released at the end of the March, which were simply farmer intentions. That all comes out at 11 a.m. tomorrow morning, and you can find those numbers on our website then at WILLAG.org, willag.org. We'll discuss those numbers, of course, during the closing market report at 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon on many of these radio stations, later on some of them. And at 2 o'clock, I'll also be moderating for University of Illinois Farm Doc and the Farm Doc team with Scott Irwin and Joe Jansen, a discussion reviewing the numbers. That's a webinar. You can find that information on our website as well at willag.org. Get yourself registered for it. You can always hear both of the programs, Closing Market Report and the webinar, which both go on at 2 o'clock tomorrow, anytime you'd like, on demand. Just visit our website, willag.org, 11 a.m. for the release of the numbers, and then 2 o'clock for the closing market report, as well as after 3 o'clock sometime for the updated information from the Farm Doc team on what those numbers will mean going forward. Now, let's turn our attention to the weather forecast. Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City is here. Hi, Drew. Thanks for being with us today.
Oh, yeah. It's always a pleasure to talk to you.
Of course it is. Let's speaking of talking, let's talk about the weather forecast going forward. There was a little rainfall, kind of a gift, I think, over the weekend, and a really welcome one for many people. However, they'll need more rainfall to make it through the growing season. That's always the case. What do you see?
Yeah, you know, the models are a little divergent right now about the rain coming up here for the next 7 to 10 days, and a little disturbing, actually, because the European model, which is probably the more popular model out there, really doesn't offer a tremendous amount of moisture until sometime around Sunday night going into Tuesday. And that's when we get a fair amount of rain, supposedly, occurring from eastern Nebraska through Iowa and then down to the Ohio River. And that would be an extremely important event because the European doesn't allow much more than sporadic showers between now and then. And we also get a couple of warm days back into the offering here with the temperatures getting back into the well into the 80s and lower 90s and maybe even a middle 90 degree reading or two out there as we go forward through Thursday and Friday. So and then hotter again, I believe, for a little while later next week. So if we miss that rain next week for Sunday through Tuesday, I'm afraid that some of these areas that are hurting for moisture, like Indiana and parts of Ohio, and even Michigan, you know, could really be in dire straits after that. So we need to keep an eye on this event coming up. Now, the GFS model is a little bit more gung-ho about rain coming with a frontal system that drops across the Midwest as we get out into the end of this week, Friday and Saturday, and actually produces rain from northern Missouri and southern Iowa to the Ohio River before we get to early next week. The problem with this is that the Gulf of Mexico, it doesn't look like it's really open for a solid feed of moisture coming up into the Midwest. Without the Gulf of Mexico being open, I'm afraid the GFS is a little too excited about some of this rain. And so the bottom line is, of course, we're going to be walking on thin ice here for a little while. But I do think that the potential is there that we can get some timely rainfall to occur. But in this environment, as you know, in summers, we often see sporadic rains, and that's kind of what's going to happen here. So there's going to be some relief, and there's going to be some areas that are going to continue dealing with dryness. Right now, I would say over the next full 7 days, it's probably going to be Michigan and probably the northern half of Indiana and parts of Ohio, maybe north central, northeastern parts of Illinois that may not do very well with rainfall. Everybody to the south will probably do better, and everybody to the northwest will probably do all right too. So going to be interesting as we move forward in time.
It is interesting to watch. Is this part of the oscillation of the high that is in that Oklahoma-Texas area?
Absolutely. And looking out 2 and 3 weeks down the road, it looks like that high pressure ridge is going to fluctuate between the front range of the Rocky Mountains and the western part of the Mississippi River Valley. That's a fairly narrow area to be moving around in, but what it does is it guarantees dryness in parts of the plains and probably in portions of the western Corn Belt as time moves along. But the good news is that both models right now are suggesting at least a little bit of rain in a timely manner for parts of Iowa, Missouri, and Kansas. So that will probably delay any serious dryness in those areas for a while longer. But yeah, the ridge is going to fluctuate mostly back and forth across the plains, and that's where the warmest bias will likely occur. In fact, today we're going to be over 100 degrees in South Dakota.
Well, since we're not in the plains, I'll say wobble, baby. Spread the rainfall on the ring of fire across the Corn Belt if you can. Anything else that we should talk about today?
Well, there's a few other issues, but nothing quite as important or market moving as what we have here in the States. But in Europe, we still have some dryness occurring in part of the corn and sunseed production areas in the east. France got some relief last week, and now they're going to go back into some drying weather. In Russia's southern region, which is kind of an important wheat and corn and soybean producing area, it hasn't been raining very much. They're drying out. It's rather chilly over there right now, but it is going to heat up in about a week to week and a half, and we're concerned that the dryness that's present will become a bit exasperated, and crop stress will become a bigger issue for some of that region. So we'll keep an eye on that. Over in China, I think we talked in previous weeks about dryness in the North China Plain. That was relieved over this past 7 days, and they will see some other bouts of rain. So that is no longer an issue for them. So outside of that, it's Argentina. And it doesn't look like it's going to rain there forever. I mean, we go 2 weeks down the road and still don't get any moisture there. Wheat is being planted and should be establishing at this time of the year, and there's just not much of that going on right now. They are planting, but the establishment is going to be poor until it rains.
Hey, thank you very much.
You betcha. Have a great day.
You too. That's Drew Lerner. He's with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City and joined us on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. It came to you from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world. Find us online. Listen to us on demand anytime you'd like at willag.org. There you'll find our daily programming. The Closing Market Report tomorrow will deal with the acreage and grain stocks figures. You can see those at 11 o'clock online as well at willag.org. We'll update the numbers as they are released from the United States Department of Agriculture. And there will also be a link tomorrow, actually today, to get yourself registered for the Farm Doc Daily webinar that will deal with those numbers as well. It's all at willag.org. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.